I mean, I think it's hard to know because it is very underreported. So,
is it a global problem?
Yes, I think it has happened in every region of the world that we can see. I don't want to say it's happened in every conflict because I don't think that's necessarily the case. But if you look back to the wars in the former Yugoslavia, you have a situation where there was one detention camp where 80% of the men who were part of that detention camp had been sexually violated. You have numbers in, you know, Peru under the Khmer Rouge, Libya, Syria. I think, you know, the first reports that UN Women were getting and OHCHR were getting in Syria were about sexual violence against males in detention. So I think that's part of the problem, is because there is so much shame and stigma. There has not, humanitarian aid workers are not trained to identify it, is that we don't have adequate numbers on it. But what we do know is it's surfacing more and more in a lot of the contexts that are ongoing.
So do you think that's the main hindrance to address sexual violence against men and boys, because people are not very aware of it?
Yeah, so I think it's partially people are not aware to look for it. And I think there's a high level of stigma against it because of the construction of gender roles, that men are the ones who perpetrate that type of dominance. They are not the ones who could be victimized by it. But I also think there is then just a lack of recognition and true understanding among those who are establishing transitional justice measures and running them, that this is something that you need to be proactive about investigating and then developing measures that make victims feel comfortable coming forward to provide testimony on or talk about.
Have you met male victims of sexual violence yourself? And what did they tell you?
Yes, I have. I've met some in both Uganda and Tunisia. And I think it's a very difficult thing for them to talk about. I think it's difficult in that there is a lot of internalized shame because of the way it challenges their manhood and how society views them as leaders and protectors. And what is always striking to me is when they talk about it is the impact that it really has on their social identity and their political identity, and how it really does, which is its intent. This is what its intent is to do, is to emasculate them and strip them of what is known as male power and what makes them successful actors within their communities. And so I think it's a really difficult thing for men to address personally, because, you know, men's communities will reject them if it gets out. Their wives will leave them. There are also societal repercussions for this.
What do you think the UN can do differently to address this?
I think the UN can train those who are part of their missions, who are part of their gender advisors that they send out to the commissions of inquiry and the fact-finding commissions, and peacekeepers. So I cross the board, those who go into these situations, to realize that it is an issue, to be on the lookout for signs of what may indicate it's an issue, even if victims aren't coming forward, and to treat it sensitively, to like put aside their own biases that they may have over, you know, you're a man, this shouldn't have happened to you because you're supposed to be strong. So something, you must have either wanted it or you did something to deserve this. And so to really treat victims with the same sensitivity that the UN has been pushing all of these actors to treat female victims with.